2 Corinthians 4, 1 through 6. And the word of the Lord says, "Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word, but by the open statement of truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Let us pray. Father, as we move to a time of just engaging with your word, Father, letting your word sink into our hearts and show us areas that we need to just give thanks to you, Father. Father, if there's anything in our lives that are distracting us, that we would just hand that over to you, Father. Just lay it down so that we could focus on what the word you have given to Pastor TJ to just bring to us today, Father. Father, I pray the Holy Spirit would just move in our hearts and help us see the things that we need to see in our own lives. Thank you for this word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As I started to prepare for this service, God started working in my heart and showing me kind of a challenge that I've been struggling with, or something that I've seen in my, that I've seen going on that I've been challenged by anyways. And I knew that that these graduates and many students alike, and most likely you all as adults as well, probably have seen, but I wanted to address it, that these graduates, as they get ready to move from the sphere that they're in to the sphere in which they are headed to, it may look different or feel different or may affect you differently. And so as God revealed to me coming up and preparing for this sermon, it's been weeks that I've seen different videos on TikTok, which TikTok is kind of a video platform that I kind of use just after the end of the day, everything's said and done. I'm trying to unwind for a little bit and go mind numb for a little while. I'm scrolling through these videos, and I'm hearing how people have differing opinions about the same topic, and they're not calling them opinions anymore. It's their truth is what they're saying. They're saying that their opinions are their truth. And I see the ridiculousness in this, and I hope you do as well. It would be like me saying that my shirt is blue and this is my truth, and somebody else seeing as my shirt is red and saying that this is their truth, and then we have to go on about our own ways because we can't refute or rebuttal each other without compromising who we are as a character or in our character. And so it's ridiculousness to think that we can have two different truths about the one same thing. And as God highlighted that to me, I wanted to kind of address it and show kind of what we should be doing, how we should rebuttal when we come to situations, especially whenever it's about faith and religion and things that we believe that goes along with that, because many people have different opinions and they're calling it their truth. It's not a new concept. People have been wanting their own opinions to be truth for a long time. But as we commission these graduates to go be the missionary on the campuses where they choose to go to college or in the workplaces that they're going to be working, the challenge lies in the fact that the Bible is the solid truth and the opinions don't necessarily matter. Even in my own life, my opinions, when they're struck down by what the Bible says is truth and factual evidence, I have to go be humbled by God's word and understand that my opinion does not matter when it differs from the word of God. The same is true for all of us. It is on his statutes, on God's statutes, that I shall stand, and on his promises that I find hope. Everything that God commands me to do in His Word, that is which I should stand on. And all the hope that I find through Jesus, through God's Word, that is where I find my hope. Graduates, you can ask anybody in this room that has already been to college or is in the work field that you're going to find darkness where you go. Just as you've already seen darkness in your school places and in the community things in which you participate, sports and different things, you've seen darkness. You're going to find darkness where you're going. As you get older and you find careers, as you get older and you find job places, workplaces, and all these other things, you're going to find darkness there, and it may look different than what you're dealing with now. You have a sphere of people around you that love you and want to see you strive to glorify God, that will challenge you and hold you accountable. When you move away and you go to college, it will look vastly different, or it can look vastly different. There will be people that try to bring you down because that's where they are. They want you to be there with them. They don't want to be alone. There will be people that try to lead you astray from what you know to be the truth because that's not what their opinion is and they don't believe the same thing. You will find professors in college and people in work fields that will try to tell you that God is either not real or that He's bad just because their opinion is that God did not bless them enough. God did not heal who they demanded Him to heal. God did not give them the big break that they demanded Him to give. God did not bend to their will. And so they form this opinion that God is either bad or either He's not real. In the sphere of influence that you have now, as you move into a workplace or into another area for college, you may not have around you. You will have to make new friends and new relationships, possibly if you're away at a new church, to hold you accountable and put this challenge before you. For our graduates today, we have built relationships. We've built friendships over the past several years. I've watched you grow. I've seen God work in your life. I've seen the Spirit grow you in your faith journey. I have heard your testimony of what God has done in your life and how He's raised you to new life and how you want to glorify Him with that life. Don't let the darkness pull you down when you're out there on your own, as many would say. You're not really on your own, but what you have to do is you have to stand firm and stand in the power of God. Stand firm on the Word of God and strong in the power of God. He has given you everything that you need to glorify Him in everything that you do. And church, this is for you too. This isn't some graduation speech. This is God's Word commanding us to do something for Him. Stand firm on the Word of God, strong in His power. This is a challenge for us all that we would walk in a worthy manner worthy of our calling. And as God has chosen you to be a child of His, you are called. There is work to be done. There are people that you need to serve. This is your ministry, church. Your ministry. Ministry is not just for pastors or church leaders or children's directors. You realize that, right? You each have your own ministry to serve in through your own life. Ministry is to be done everywhere by those God has called and saved. And so as we look at Scripture this morning, we see that it starts off with, therefore, having this ministry. What is this ministry that Paul speaks of here? Anytime you see the word therefore, the first word in our passage today, the writer is referring to what was just written prior to the passage that we're in. And all throughout chapter 3, and even the end of chapter 2, we're in verse 4 this morning. So previously, chapter 3, even at the end of chapter 2, we see that Paul is writing to the Corinthians about having triumph in Christ, what Christ has done for us, and about living under the new covenant which was made with Christ. It all points to the hope that believers have in Christ. So it's evident when Paul mentions here ministry, he's speaking of the calling that has been placed on you, church, to serve in the work of Christ. Therefore, since Christ has done all this for us, brought hope to us, brought salvation, you can now, in the power of God, work for Jesus Christ. You can go serve in the ministry that God has placed in your on your life because, therefore, Christ has enabled you to. Therefore, you now have ministry. And that's the basics of ministry. Those who are called by the command of God to proclaim and promote religion to man. And this religion I speak of is not some tradition, spacey, disengaged idolatry. In Christianity, this means we proclaim and promote the deprivation of man, the sinfulness of man, the brokenness that we have apart from God. We promote that and the need for Jesus Christ to mend our relationship with God. That is what we proclaim and promote. This is what you do in the darkness. Graduates, adults, workplace workers alike, all of us, we proclaim this good news. We are a broken people in need of our relationship to be fixed. Jesus is the one to do that. And we do this because we have received mercy, it says. Verse 2, verse 1 continues to say, we have this ministry as we received mercy. Mercy is the act of withholding deserved punishment. This means two things. It means that we deserve some form of punishment. And since Paul is speaking of Christ's ministry and all things spiritual, we know the punishment we receive mercy for is spiritual death. Our punishment should be spiritual death. But God gives mercy to us. He withholds that deserved punishment. But we should have spiritual death, separation from God, no hope. But it also means in this passage that we see God has compassion for us. He sent Jesus to stand in the gap, to take on the spiritual death, to be separated from the Father for a moment in time and to give us hope through that. This is what we proclaim and promote, church. We stand strong in God's power as we proclaim this. We stand bold against the darkness as we do this. Because the darkness is going to try to wrap you up. You guys have already seen that in school. You guys that are in the workplace as adults, you see where darkness tries to wrap you up. No matter how hard you want to strive for God, you can feel the temptations of the world pulling on you. You have to stand firm on the Word of God, knowing that it is solid truth, and stand in the power of God to proclaim and promote what God's wanting to do through you in the darkness. The world will try to draw you into lawlessness and lewdness, debauchery, and all sorts of things that are against God. But I want you to always come back to the joy of your salvation. I want you to always think about that. It's something that helps me whenever I'm feeling the temptations of the world, whenever I'm feeling the darkness around me growing and growing more and more. I go back to when I was 13 years old, and I remember walking down the aisle of Oakdale Baptist Church, the place in which God called me to be saved, hitting my knees and praying, remembering the joy that just surpassed everything else that was going on in my life. I remember the following week being baptized. I remember wanting to live my life every moment at that point in time for Christ. I remember what Christ had done for me. I remember that since, therefore, Christ had done this for me, I could then, through the power of God, work the ministry that He had called me to do. I did not understand at 13 what that looked like. But praise be to God, we learn and grow together. People stepped into my life to show me what it looks to live out a ministry-style lifestyle. Always go back to the joy of your salvation. Always remember what Christ has done for you. And therefore, since He has done that for you, you can now work in the ministry for Him. Speak out against the things that are against God. Call out the sin. Verse 2 says, we have renounced. This is Paul still speaking here. We have renounced disgraceful and underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. Renounce means to speak out against. It means to call out the sins that you see, church. It's not enough to sit passively by and watch others continue to fall into the sinful traps of Satan. This is part of your ministry, part of the work that you were called to do, to call out the sins that you see. Now, graduates, as you get ready to head off to college, there are going to be many things happening where you're at that you're going to see that are sinful. It's going to be hard just to call them out as soon as you see them the first week that you're there. But just like we have in student ministry, have built relationships and grown together, whenever I see something in your life that may be challenging to God's word, I can call that out because you've allowed me to speak into your life. And just like people speak into my life when they see things in my life that might not align with God's word, I allow them to speak in my life. This is the reason why we build relationships. This is the reason why we are intentional with building relationships, so we have the ability to call out sin when we see it and allow others to call out sin in our own lives. So as you go into these places, these new places, work fields and college graduates, I want you to understand building relationships is important. But building relationships for the sake of Jesus Christ, that's what's really important. Building relationships for the sake of Jesus Christ, that you may renounce disgraceful and underhanded ways. And to renounce the underhanded things, guys, I want you to understand that's the sins that are done in secret. That's the ones that are behind closed doors. They still have to be dealt with. That's for others when you learn about them, or even you in your own life, that whenever you have sins in secret, you still have to deal with those things. They're sin. They're still sinful. You have to forbid them. Just because your parents may not see the screens that you're looking at, or the messages that you're sending to that guy or girl, just because your spouse may not know the text message that you may have with a coworker, just because they don't know those things doesn't justify them as not a sin. They are still sin. This isn't a what they don't know won't hurt them kind of thing. While your sin can and still may affect others, or can, will, whew, may your sin can affect others, I'll get it out in a minute, it's going to definitely affect your relationship with God. Your sin that's done in secret, it may affect others, most likely will affect others at some point in time. It's definitely going to affect and impact your relationship with God. And as it affects your relationship with God, as it impacts your relationship with God, you will be drawn into darker and darker things. You will be drawn deeper and deeper into the darkness. You will say, well, if I can get by with this, I can probably get by with that. If they didn't notice this, they may not notice that. And before long, you're not even striving to live out a life that glorifies God. You don't even care to live out a life that glorifies God. You're just walking around like everybody else that does not believe in God. You have to renounce these things. You have to speak out against them. Call them out when you see them. There are many people that are in that darkness now. And they don't want to be there alone. They're going to pull you down there with them. There are many people that feel the pain and the heartache of a broken relationship, though they may not even understand it. They feel the pain and heartache of a broken relationship with God, and they don't want to be there alone. And so they will pull you down with them. And people have accepted worldly desires over God's desires, and they rewrite the narrative of the Bible to fit their own agenda. They pick and choose what they want to out of here that fits what they want to say. They change what they want to change to make it fit their agenda so that they feel good about themselves. And I tell you, church, not only if you change the words of the Bible, but if you change the idea, the narrative, or the context of the Bible, you no longer have the Bible. You no longer have the truth of God's word. You only have a badly plagiarized book with your own opinions that lack truth and lead people to hell. And that's what's being done in our society these days. People are picking and choosing what they want from this word that makes them feel good. They leave out what challenges them. Can't do that. We can't do that, church. Standing firm on the word of God, standing strong in the power of God, doesn't mean we reject God's power and authority that he's given us in his word. This book has power. It's not like any other book we have. It has authority over our lives. And yet people want to play games with it and pull out what they struggle with. Graduates, you can't do that. You have to stand strong in God's power. You have to stand firm on His word. If it challenges you, that means you rise to the challenge. If you struggle with something it says, that means you talk about it and we work through it and you grow through it. But you live it out. Adults, same for you. There's parts in here that are hard for us to hear. There's parts in here that are hard for us to live out. God's given you the power to do it. Therefore, since Jesus has done this for us, we have the power through God to do it. We renounce the sins. We live in the ministry that we've been called to live in. These people that's in the world that take and pick and choose from the Bible or reject the Bible altogether, that's the darkness, guys. When they accept part of this and they reject any other part of it, when they reject all of it, that's the darkness. Your ministry is to be a light that shines in that darkness, to expose it and all of its faults. It's your ministry to call out the sin that is there, and you ought to be prepared to explain the truth of God's word. We're called to be prepared to give the hope in which we have. You've been trained up. You know God's word. You know what He's commanded of you. You know what sin is. Rely on Him and His power. It's important that we are doing this everywhere we can. Many reasons, of course, for that. But the first being that it's obedience to God. This is what we've been called to do by God. This is what we ought to do for God. But it's also clear that Satan's working in this world. And as we continue through our scripture, we see the continuation of that. Satan is at work, but so is Christ. Verse 3 says that even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those that are perishing. Many of you may know the word gospel means good news. And if you didn't, now you do. The gospel means literally good news. And Paul is writing a passage to the church in Corinth. Paul is a Christian writing to Christians. He's a follower of Christ writing to other followers of Christ. And when he says our gospel, it's clear he's stating about the good news of Jesus Christ. His birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, all of it, the good news of Jesus. Verse 3 says that it has been veiled, it has been hidden, covered up from those that are perishing. This is those that walk in the darkness, those who let sin run and rule their lives. And it's because those that let sin run and rule their lives, they are living for Satan rather than God. As we see that in verse 4, because it says, in their case, the god of this world has blinded them in their minds of the unbelievers. If you look in your text closely, you'll see that God is a little g god there. The phrase god of this world refers to Satan. He's working to blind people of Jesus. Gives us the idea that he's trying to corrupt the mental discernment of the people about Jesus and his gospel. We see it at the end of verse 4, to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Satan is working so hard that he uses everything he can to blind you from the light, to hide the gospel from you, to veil the good news. He uses twisted thoughts and opinions. He uses divisiveness and he uses corrupt leaders, politics. He'll even use marriages and adultery, lustfulness, anger, hate, among many other things to blunt people's mental discernment about the light of the gospel and the glory of Jesus Christ. Satan is using scripture just like he did when Jesus went out for 40 days to pray, to fast and pray. Satan approached Jesus and used scripture twistedly to try to get Jesus to slip. And today is doing the same thing, because he'll take this word and allow somebody to take a piece of it, twist it, form their own opinion about it, and say, this is my truth. And their truth doesn't align with the whole context of the passages they're breaking out. It's your job, it is your ministry to call that out. Verse 4 finishes with, who is the image of God? This directly points to who Jesus is. There's no beating around the bush about it. It's very clear who Jesus is. He is the exact representation of God himself. And Satan is working diligently to hide anything of God, especially the exact representation of God. It is your ministry, your calling, church, to walk and live in the power of God, allowing his spirit to guide and direct your thoughts, talks, and walks, that you may be the light that exposes Satan and his schemes in this dark world. We are called to expose these things, to bring light to these things. And you don't do this because you're any better than anyone else, but you do this because, one, you've been commanded to do so by God, but two, so others will see the light of Christ in and through you. Their blinders would fall off, and they too would become disciples of Jesus Christ. I get a picture of what Paul was like on the road to Damascus here. Paul was writing this, and I picture Paul as he was the Jew of Jews. He was a Pharisee. He hated Christians. Anybody that proclaimed Christ, he was having them locked up and petitioned to have them murdered. And yet he went out on this road called Damascus, a road to Damascus, to go and find people that were following in the ways of Christ. He was going out to have them locked up and to have them killed. On his way, there was a bright light shone around him. He fell to the ground. Christ had an encounter with him in that moment. He was blinded, eyesight veiled. And then he was prayed over, and it was like his blinders fell off. It was like scales that said fell from his eyes, and he could see again. But there was something much different about his sight. Not his physical eyesight, but he could see with the eyes of his heart who Christ was. He was living in darkness, had an encounter with Christ. The light shone around him. The veil was torn. The veil was broken. The sight was, he was blinded. It was now fixed. He could see. And this is what you are called to do. Not on your own power, on your own accord, your own power, but through the power of Christ. He lives in you. He has put the light in you. You now go to the darkest areas and you light up in those areas. You break down the barriers. You call out the sin. And allow others to see Christ through you. This is why your ministry is so important, church. This is why your obedience needs to be such a high priority. Getting around to it someday doesn't cut it. Every single day is a battlefield. God can do anything he chooses, and yet he chooses to use us and you on that battlefield. He puts you on the mission. He has chosen you for Christ to be seen through. He has chosen you to light up this dark world. And if your light doesn't seem to be shining brightly, I can tell you it's not because of the source. It's not because of a bad bulb. Because that light lives. That light rose on the third day. He has power. If your light ain't shining, there are own things in your own life that need to be checked, starting with your heart. We, church, have a heavy task of living according to God's precepts and statutes, according to his word. Everything that he has commanded us to do in the hope that we are to live for and shine for, we have a heavy task of living that out, but it is a task that has been given to us. We're to be proclaiming and promoting his kingdom. This means that we are actively working for the glory of Jesus, sitting by and watching others that are dying and going to hell and not stepping in that gap to bring the light of the gospel is completely unacceptable. This turns us back to the beginning of our passage that we must renounce and refute any of the darkness by ministering to it the light of the gospel. That's what verse 5 is all about. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, with ourselves as your servant for Jesus' sake. We cannot continue to just stand by as if the world's sins has no effect on us. We are not here to build ourselves up, but we have sovereignly been chosen to promote Christ as Lord to all people. We must approach this as humble servants. We must humbly attend to the needs of others, both physical and spiritual. This church is big on mission trips, being missional minded. We go and do a lot of things. Building ramps and doing electrical, putting up roofs, making meals are all part of our ministry. But we can never pass up the part of having spiritual conversations with people. I remember going to Puerto Rico to put on a roof with a group of guys on a mission trip a couple of years back. And I remember landing in Puerto Rico and seeing the devastation that the storms had brought like I had never seen before. These houses were ripped apart. They were concrete blocks for houses. And the roofs totally gone. It was so bad that there was multiple organizations, one that we worked with called Roofs for My People. They needed organizations to come together to help put roofs on houses. And while it seemed like a simple task for a group of men from Harmony to go and put a roof on, we thought we would take it. And so we partnered with that group, and we went to go make a difference for a family. And as we were there, we knew that this family would be able to move back into their home. And even we were able to even fix their plumbing. They didn't have plumbing in the house. They had it outside of the house in this little shower building. And that's where multiple families went to go take a shower. And we were even able to fix that. And as good as that felt to fix the roof and that plumbing, there was something else that I saw as a real devastation. This family did not know Jesus. This family consisted of multiple generations, a kid that was 10, 12 years old, all the way up to a grandma that was living there, and she was probably in her 80s. Everybody in between. I saw their need for Jesus, and then as I had conversations with other people, and we were able to go out for dinners and lunches and things like that, I saw the brokenness, the spiritual brokenness there. And I knew that God had brought us there for something more than putting a roof on. And there was this one kid, I talked about him a second ago, 10 or 12 years old, and he was in the family in which we were trying to put this roof on this house for. Every single day, he was there just as early as we were, putting a tool belt on, dropping a couple of nails in there and grabbing a hammer and just asking what he could do. He spoke Spanish and broken English, and we spoke broken English as well. We don't do good with our own English, let alone barely any Spanish. But I remember on like the third or fourth day, we were finally getting some panels up on the roof. And I was on the back side of the house, and I remember hearing Eddie Black talk to this kid. I'm going to get emotional. I remember hearing Eddie Black talk to this kid and trying to share Jesus with this kid. And it was clear that Eddie's Spanish wasn't doing the greatest, and this kid's English wasn't doing the greatest, and I don't know Spanish either. So I was like, what can we do? Lord, help me. And so just as he was trying to explain why we were there, that God sent us here, not just to put a roof on, but that he had something to tell him, it was Jesus. And he was telling this kid that. It's like, God brought me here, not just for the roof, but for something bigger. And so I kind of partnered up with Eddie, and we did the best we could. Then we started using Google Translate. So if Google tracks our stuff, like Google knows about Jesus now too. And so we were just walking through that. And come to find out, like, this little guy's dad didn't believe in God at all, kind of pushed back against God and the church and everything. And so we worked through the need for Jesus with this kid. And all the guys that were there really poured into this kid, but I just remember the specific conversation. And, you know, something in that kid's life changed. It definitely wasn't the eloquent speaking, because that definitely wasn't part of it. It wasn't anything that we said at all or did other than the fact that we were servants for Jesus' sake there. And that's what we were called to do, not to say, hey, we're great builders or we're here to do that. It was, we're here to be a servant for you through Jesus' name. And so through that, God sparked a light in that kid's life. He'd been living in darkness. He knew physical darkness because he had been through the storms and he had weathered those. He had lived in a house that had tarps on it with holes in the tarps. Every time it rained, which was every 3 hours it felt like, it would rain inside their house. He saw the spiritual darkness because that was obviously present as they didn't follow God. And so there was something about the light of these men that went on this mission trip that shone in the darkness that this little boy would catch. And he said, you know what? I want to partner with this ministry that's in our own place, Puerto Rico, Roofs for My People. I want to go and help put roofs on other people's houses, and I want to tell them about Jesus too. And so now we have a 12-year-old. I'm going to cry again. It's an emotional day for me. Now we have a 12-year-old that is trying to learn what it looks like to build a roof, but also learn what it means. So the last few days is us talking about gospel conversation stuff and how to screw boards together. It is so cool to see how all of it comes together. And in that particular time, it was our ministry to minister to that particular child so that he could share Christ with his own people in his own native language, as he helps them physically with their own needs and shares Christ with his own dad. We didn't go just to put a roof on. We didn't go just to fix their showers. We didn't go so that we could say that we went on a mission trip and feel good about ourselves. We went so that little boy could hear who Jesus is and tell his dad about Christ, and then he can go on to do work for Christ himself. See, even though Satan is working, Christ is working too. That was a dark area. There was sadness in my heart when I got there. There was joy in my heart when those conversations were had. Satan may be working, Christ is working as well. The same God that brought light into the world brings light into our heart. Think about what verse 6 says. Verse 6 says, the God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. Think about creation for just a minute. Genesis 1, verse 3. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. God has the power to speak light into the darkness. There's absolutely nothingness. God can speak it into creation. The power he has is, we can't comprehend it. He can speak light into the darkness. And we see here in Genesis, it's the earliest of kind of what we see to be God's absolute power and control of everything for as what we to know. There was nothing that he didn't speak into existence except us, of course. He created us in his image, forming us from the dust of the ground and from a rib, still showing his absolute power to bring life from nothingness. And in our passage today, God gives us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, literally reveals it to us within our own heart, saying, hey, here's what I've done for you. Here's who I am. I've sent Christ Jesus for you. He shows you the light in your broken, messed up, dark worlds. He brings light into your heart, hope into your heart. He says, this is what I've done for you. Go do something with it. I hope you understand the amount of power that lives within you. If you can catch just a glimpse of the power of God speaking creation into existence or forming us out of nothingness, he places that power in you to go and then speak life into other people, new life, that they may have hope and eternal life. This is your ministry, church, that you live out a life of light that Christ has brought to you. John 1:1-5 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him, not anything was made that was made. Catch this right here, church. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Church, I hope that is you. I pray that is you. As Christ shines his light in your own heart, that the darkness would not overcome it. That you would stand strong in the power of God. You would renounce those things that are sinful in your own life and those around you. And that you live out the life of the light that Christ has brought to you. And we see this contrast of theme of light and dark throughout the New Testament. Light refers to biblical truth and holiness. Darkness refers to erroneous ways and sinfulness. Christ has brought you life through the light of men, it says. The light of knowledge of the glory of God. God moves people from the kingdom of darkness to his kingdom of light. He does this through our obedience now. Through our lives, we must boldly live out what Christ has done for us. We must shine in those dark areas. We must serve through the ministry that God has given each of us. Christ is in us. We must be that representation now. Christ was that exact representation of God. And now with Christ living within us, we must represent God in every way that we can. So I ask, are you striving to live to that standard? Are you striving to represent God the way Christ represented God? If not, will you? Will you strive to be God's representative, his ambassador while you're here on earth? Will you strive to make him known and stand strong in his power and against the dark ways of this world? Because you've been chosen by God and your ministry is important. I pray this morning you've seen maybe the areas that you can impact with the light that has been shown to you. Maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, I don't know about that light yet, and God's working on me, but I just don't know yet. I pray this morning God would shine his light in your heart. And if you feel that, I ask that you would respond to God in a way that would bring him glory. If God is working on your heart this morning, and maybe he's called you to live for him and you're just not quite living that out yet, hit your knees and pray to him. Respond to him. Strive to live for him. But maybe he's calling you for the first time this morning, showing you that light this morning. Respond to him and follow him. That you would follow his ways and find eternal life through Christ Jesus this morning. Would you pray with me? Father God, thank you for everything you've given us. God, thank you for your word, your truth. God, I pray that as we encounter people that try to take your truth and twist it to make it what they want, God, I pray that we see clearly what that is, that we call it out for what it is, and that we stand strong in your power and firm on your word, and that we are ready to defend you, to defend your word. Lord, I pray as we see areas that we can minister to people, either physical or spiritual, Father God, you call us to do both. God, would you make us available to do that, Father God? That we would serve others for Jesus' name's sake. God, I pray that you would move in this place. God, I pray that your spirit would fill us, Father God. If there's areas in which we are lacking to bring you glory, God, I pray that you would reveal it to our hearts now, Father. That we would hit our knees and that we would pray to you. And that we would repent of those things. And Father God, that we would turn our faces towards you. God, I pray that if there's anyone here that doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that today may be the day that you shine your light upon their heart, Father God. That you reveal to them, you bring that veil down, Father God, and you reveal to them who you are and what you've done through Jesus Christ, God. And Lord, I pray that they would respond to follow you all of their days. But God, let us all be lights in the darkness everywhere we go. I thank you for your word. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.